we do love you.
Amen.
Oh, we do thank you for yourself.
Amen.
We're here to hear you speak.
Amen.
Anoint the word.
Amen.
Anoint our ears.
Amen.
We're fully dependent on you.
Amen.
Bind the enemy and all his distractions and hindrances.
Amen.
That we can see you in the word.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed the Lord's table.
Amen.
It's not the decibels, but it's the exercise of the Spirit.
Amen.
I hope we have more of these Lord's table. Praise the Lord. So our portion is the first half of Colossians chapter 2. We start from verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle, this is Paul speaking, I have for you and for those in Laodicea, even for all who have not seen my face in the flesh. He has a great struggle. What is the struggle for? Well, if we go to chapter 1, we had such a high revelation of Christ. I don't know if you remember, but maybe we can have a quick tour. First of all, I never forget this, verse 12. The allotted portion of the saints in the light.
Amen.
The Lord is our portion. The Lord is our good land for our enjoyment.
Amen.
Then verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
Amen.
In him all things were created. Through him and unto him. Verse 17, he is before all things cohere in him.
Amen.
He holds the universe together.
Amen.
And he is the head of the body, the church.
Amen.
He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. For in him, 19, all the fullness was pleased to dwell. No doubt, that's what Paul was struggling for. But when we come to verse 2, we find out what he was struggling for. That their hearts may be comforted. Well, wait a minute. We have such a high revelation, and then it comes down to our heart being comforted. Why is that? You know, we mentioned so much about the Spirit, the exercise of the Spirit. What about the heart? Well, the point is this. If our heart is not right, we will not see anything. If our heart is not warmed up, or like it says in Ephesians 5, I believe, verse 29, that the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. And cherish means tender love. So we need to see the first thing is that our hearts need to be comforted. You know, if we're unhappy, we don't see anything. But, what makes us happy? The Lord should make us happy. He is our portion. He's everything to us. Aside from him, we don't need anything. Like it says in chapter 2, verse 10, in him you are full.
Amen.
Need nothing else.
I don't know if the young people would believe this. Surely the young people feel they need a lot of things, right? So this is the first point, that we need to have our hearts comforted. And what happens if our hearts are comforted? Continuing in verse 2. They being knit together in love, and unto the riches of what? Of the full assurance. The full assurance. Do we have full assurance of anything? Well, if our hearts are comforted, we can have the riches of the full assurance of understanding. The full assurance of understanding is concerning chapter 1, what Paul has revealed, and also chapter 2, where there's more revelation. Right? The full assurance of understanding, but here there's more. Unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. So, our hearts being comforted gives us the assurance of understanding. Praise the Lord. Today we're not going to follow the order. We may move around. Right now we're going to verse 6. As therefore you have received the Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in Him. We are to walk in Christ. To experience Christ is to walk in Him. We need to see this. This is again the good land. Our portion is a good land. The place for us to walk is the good land. And actually, verse 7 says, having been rooted and being built up in Him. So we need to be those who walk in Him. What is to walk? To live, to move, to act, and have our being. That covers everything. That means that our living should be in Christ. That we can enjoy the riches of the full assurance, the riches of Christ, just like the children of Israel enjoyed the good land. In our experience, Christ should be the good land. Of course, the good land for the Israelites was physical. And surely, they were in the land, they could walk in the land. But we need to be like Paul in Philippians when he says that he wants to be found in Christ. He wants to be found in Christ. That we would be those that can be found in Christ. You know, we may be home. We may have a miserable time. And there's a knock on the door. And whoever is on the other side of the door will not find us in Christ. They will find us in our feelings. Right? So, how good it is that Christ is the good land. That every aspect of our living may be in Christ, who is the all-inclusive one, as the portion of the saints, as the mystery of God's economy. So we need to be exhorted to walk in Christ. Now, the people of Israel experience Christ in three stages. What three stages? In Egypt, in the wilderness, and in the good land. In Egypt, what did they have? The Passover lamb. And what was the Passover lamb for them to put the blood on the doorpost so that would protect them, that would preserve them, but also to eat it so they're able to get out of Egypt? So this is the Passover. Then in the wilderness, we have, what is this? Manna, right? And manna enabled the people of Israel to have the tabernacle. Now the tabernacle was moving. It could be moved. It wasn't permanent. So the tabernacle was a testimony of God, but not a solid testimony. But in the good land, what happened? The day after they arrived in the good land, the manna stopped because there was the rich produce of the land. And what did the rich produce of the land produce? The temple, a permanent testimony of God, built with stones, not in a tent, and a place for God to dwell. God desires to dwell among his people. This is his desire. In the book of Corinthians, the book of Corinthians is not like the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. In the book of 1 Corinthians, their experience of the Lord is limited to the first two stages. In 1 Corinthians, you don't have the third stage. We have 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, the Passover, the feast, that surely refers to Egypt. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, we have eating and drinking, which speaks of the wilderness, the enjoyment of Christ in the wilderness, but no mention in the third stage. But in Ephesians and Colossians, it is much higher. The church life in Colossians and Ephesians is more solid than in 1 Corinthians. But you know, after Paul has given so much, he has released such a vision, we come to verse 4. This I say, that no one may delude you with persuasive speech. Amazing. After all that the Colossians had seen, they were deluded by persuasive speech. We're very concerned for the young people. The young people in the colleges. Everything is against the Bible in the colleges. So it is not so easy not to be deluded by persuasive speech. So, almost sounds unbelievable. And actually, we may not be able to understand, but our mind is that way. Our mind can easily deceive us. Even if we have seen the revelation in chapter 1, we can be deceived concerning many isms. Today, not only there's religious isms, but there's humanism, there's philosophy, there is even culture. And all these things can distract and hinder. So we need to have a keen discernment to be kept from being deceived, even by the traditions in Catholicism, even by the traditions in Christendom. So what can we do? We need to check everything by the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is our assurance concerning whatever we hear, whatever we see, whatever we experience. If we don't have the Bible, we don't have any standard. The Bible is God's standard. I heard the young people heard this week that the Bible is a personal letter to them written by God. Ah, how sweet. How precious. So, we need to consider it that. So that when there's a persuasive speech, we will not listen to it. But we will remain with the Lord. Now, what happens? Oh, and then there's verse 8. Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through his philosophy, an empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. You know, it's not so easy. It's not so easy to not be affected by the fact that we don't agree with certain things. We don't agree with some things that have been said in Christianity. And that may give the impression, oh, maybe we're wrong, right? For instance, on the other side, they don't believe, like we do, that Christ is the life-giving Spirit, and that's so meaningful to us. So, we need to take Christ as life in chapter 3, verse 4. If we are deluded, if we are carried off as spoil, means we do not hold Christ as the head of the body. We do not know Christ as the mystery of God. We don't experience the indwelling of Christ as a hope of glory. Finally, we see that the ones who were carried off according to the tradition of men, according to the element of the world, and not according to Christ. So we need to be careful. We need to be those who have discernment. So we need to take Christ. And he is the head of the body. We need to hold on to him. Know him as the mystery of God. Experience him as the indwelling Christ, as the hope of glory. Finally,
To be not according to Christ means we do not walk in Christ. We need to be those who take Christ as the good land in which we walk. But Christ today is the life-giving Spirit. Therefore, when it says that we are to walk in Christ, another way of saying it, we are to walk in the Spirit. The last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So we can say that we are to walk in the Spirit. So we need to see that we must live, move, behave, and have our being according to the Spirit. And in this way, we experience Christ. Christ is the pneumatic Christ, the life-giving Spirit. So we need to return to Him, return to Christ, set our mind on the Spirit, walk according to the Spirit. This is to walk in Christ as a mystery of God. In Colossians 2:6, we're told to walk in Christ. But in Galatians 5:16, we're charged to walk by the Spirit. So this brings us to Galatians 5:16. In Galatians 5:16, it says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We even have a bonus in this verse. If we walk by the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, this is the way we need to live in our whole daily life. And if we read chapter 5 of Galatians, we will find there's only two choices. Either we walk by the flesh, or we walk by the Spirit. There's no in between. There's no other choice. So we better make the right choice. And because, you know, I enjoyed very much one of the hymns that said that we experience what Christ has done. I'm sorry, I should have brought my hymn book. Because we're in Him. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it is of God that we are in Christ. Therefore, whatever Christ has gone through, whatever He has experienced, whatever He has attained, whatever He has obtained, is our experience in Christ. So, we need to walk by the Spirit. But then, not only that, when we walk by the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit. And we're led by the Spirit in everything, even in small things, even how to talk to people, especially how to talk to the saints, how to talk to the new ones, how to talk to the unbelievers. We are led by the Spirit. But then we come to Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here we have the Spirit with a small s. in Galatians 5:16 and 25, we have the Spirit with a big S. Is this a contradiction? It's not a contradiction, but it's a precious truth. The Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, Christ, are as one in our spirit. But, 1 Corinthians 6:17 tells us, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, the pneumatic Christ, is mingled with our spirit. So you know, I don't know about you, but to me this was very enjoyable. I don't have to think about the Spirit somewhere else. I don't even have to think about the Spirit in my spirit. I can realize we have a mingled spirit. If I exercise my spirit, the life-giving Spirit is right there. And of course, we don't have time to go towards the end of chapter 8 that tells us that the Spirit leads us how to pray, and the Spirit groans in us so that we could know how to pray and how to touch the Lord. So then this brings us to Colossians chapter 7. In Colossians chapter 7, chapter 2 verse 7, Colossians chapter 2 verse 7, having been rooted and being built up in him, being established in the faith, as you were taught. So here we have that we were rooted, we have been built up in him, we have been established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. I have to confess to you, I never have been impressed much by the word thanksgiving. But this time, the Lord spoke to me. When the Lord speaks, simple words become living. I had never realized how crucial, how important, how necessary is to have thanksgiving. And not only says we need to have thanksgiving, but abounding. We need to abound in thanksgiving. You know, when we're right with the Lord, when we're walking with the Lord, it's very easy to thank the Lord. When we're not walking with the Lord, it's not so easy to thank the Lord. I have a question for the young people. When you are in a worldly entertainment, can you thank the Lord? I doubt. When you're upset, can you thank the Lord? I doubt. So, thanking the Lord, having thanksgiving, shows that we are really walking with the Lord. And the point is that if we have thanksgiving, we will be established in the faith. Surely, when we thank the Lord for everything, we have faith. Otherwise, we would be hypocrites, right? So how important thanksgiving is, how important it is to give thanks. If we claim that we have good fellowship with the Lord, and yet cannot thank him, that's false. But if we are walking with the Lord, we can really thank the Lord. So we should not deceive ourselves. we need to check, according to this verse, are we abounding in thanksgiving? Then we can be established in the faith. So that brings us to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. I was really impressed by this verse. Although you might say it doesn't say so much, yet the Lord spoke to me. Giving thanks sometimes. Giving thanks at all times. For good things. For all things. That is not so easy. Can we give thanks? Can we give thanks if we lose our job? If we're walking with the Lord, yes. Right? This is the issue. If we're walking with the Lord in the reality of the name of the Lord, because here it says, giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God and Father. I expose myself. Sometimes it's good to expose yourself. I'm a very impatient person. Especially now as I got older, I may fumble things, or things do not work the way I want them, or I drop things. And that makes me very annoyed. But when I was reading this verse, the Lord told me, you thank me for it. So I started to thank the Lord for it, and I wasn't mad anymore. More than that, I am suspicious. Most of the fumbling stopped. That to me tells me the enemy was bothering me with that. And I was so dumb I didn't realize it until I came to Ephesians 5:20. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So how crucial thanksgiving is. And then we come to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Again, in everything give thanks. But here it adds, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We know that the last sentence refers to verses 16 to 18, but we're now in verse 18. We need to be those who thank the Lord. This is what God desires, that we would be thanking people. But, okay, all right, so we should give thanks. Okay, I'm going to try from now on to give thanks. But why? What's the purpose? What's the reason? Why should we give thanks? Romans tells us why we should give thanks. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know, that's good that we know. And we know that all things work together for good. Period. I like that verse. All things work together for me. Very good. I enjoy that. And then it even says, for those who love God. I love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, I'm called according to his purpose. But verse 29 gives us the reason why all things work together for good. Verse 29 says, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated
to go to a wonderful place. Is that what it says? You don't sound so sure. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Of course, the enemy may bother us, and we need to refuse his bothering. But otherwise, everything that happens to us in our daily living, everything is for our good. Do we believe that? I'm not so sure. We need to believe God's heart for us is good. He wants the best for us. So in fact, he is a detailed God. Every detail of our life is arranged by God. For what? So we could suffer? No, not really. So that we could be transformed. So that we could be not only transformed, but conformed to the image of his Son. So that requires a little doing. I mean, it may be our feeling that our surroundings, our circumstances are unpleasant. But we need to see that God has arranged this so that, because he said, we're called according to his purpose. Verse 29 says, he also predestinated. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. So what would our kicking do? Our kicking would only bring about something stronger instead of a hammer. Maybe the roof would cave in, because we are predestined for this, whether we like it, whether we don't like it. This is our destiny. It's a predestiny that actually, if we see Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we will find out that this destiny was before the world was created. Certainly before we were born, we were destined to be conformed to the image of God's firstborn son. So that's why things happen to us. So next time we have a problem, don't say, why me? Say, thank you, Lord. This is for my confirmation. And our life would be much more peaceful. And that brings us to the last verse that we're covering in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Wonderful verse. And you, this is for us. And you have been made full in him. Do we believe this? Especially the young people, do we believe this? That we're being made full in Christ? That in Christ is everything that we need? I'm sure the young people feel they need a lot of things. But praise the Lord, we are really made full in Christ. You may say, well, I don't feel I'm full in Christ. Let me give you an example of a marriage. There's a marriage, and in this marriage, a poor lady marries a billionaire. And the day after the marriage, she says, "Oh, I'm so poor. I don't have anything." What's wrong with that wife, right? But we do the same thing. We're billionaires in Christ, but we say, "Oh, I'm so poor. I'm so weak. I can't do this. I can't do that." And, you know, this is the way we are. We need to realize Colossians 2:10 is a reality. We have been made full in Him by faith. Not by repeating the verse. By faith we can be made full in Him. Praise the Lord. So we don't need to have merely a doctrinal knowledge. We need to experience, to exercise faith, to partake of all that Christ has given us, to partake of Christ who is our portion, to partake of Christ who is our good land. And never forget the marriage example. We are billionaires in Christ. We need to believe with full assurance of understanding, as the verse says, that this is a reality. Don't believe your feelings. You know, even when we're to prophesy, I can't prophesy. I don't know. I don't understand. Forget it. Just turn to the Lord, exercise your spirit, and by faith you can prophesy. Amen. It is not up to you, it is up to Him. He will do it in us. You know, we're so used to live by our natural life. Let's not talk about sin and more negative things. But we're so used to live by our natural life that we only think we can do the things that we can do by our natural life. But we need to realize by the divine life, whatever God wants us to do, we can do. So this morning, if the Lord wants you to prophesy, you can prophesy. Because you have the Lord within you. In Christ, it says we're made full. Actually, that word means also perfect, complete. We don't lack anything. We have everything that we need. In Him, we are made full. In our actual living, we may not be full. So we need to turn to the Lord. So again, all these things can only be experienced by faith. So I encourage myself and I encourage all of you to experience what we see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. I'm sorry I wasn't able to cover the last verses of the portion, because it's too much. This is not merely teaching. This is not merely doctrine. This is for us to experience. Amen. All of you who say, "You are too poor, you are too weak, you are not able," come to Colossians chapter 2. In Him you are able. He will enable you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now Brother Dennis will make the announcements.
Isn't that good? We're made full in Him.
Amen.
Amen. Just walk in Him. Stay in Him. The book room has an announcement. They have received the following books that were ordered, I think, after the training, some of the saints. The ministry magazines and the Holy Word for Morning Revival from the summer training on Genesis. That can be had at the book room after the meeting. And also a pocket size and the full size of the life study of Genesis. I know some of you have decided to read through the life study of Genesis. The copies have been received in the book room. We also want to mention that we will continue in the book of Colossians this week. We'll finish chapter 2. What a rich book!
Amen.
Chapters 1 and 2 are so full. So we will finish that this week. Please pick up your morning watch sheets. The last announcement is very important. As many of you know, we are in the middle of the Summer School of Truth on the Bible. We just have finished the first week in New Jersey, and this week we will have all the young people coming from the Northeast region, from Massachusetts through Pennsylvania. They will be coming here for week 2, and we have the privilege and the grace to give hospitality. We may entertain angels unawares. We may not know who's coming, but I'll tell you, some angels are coming. Some dear, naughty young people who are really angels in disguise. You get to know them, you'll find out, wow, they're so sweet. So, unfortunately, we're short 50 spots for this week. We're okay on the weekend, but we're still short 50 places. We don't want to turn them away, do we? No, we don't want to turn them away. So that means we may need to open up our rooms a little bit larger, put another one or two on the floor. They love the floor. They hopefully will bring their sleeping bags. If not, we'll try to help them with some, you know, make a pad for them. They don't need beds. They don't need their own room. They don't need their own bathroom. They just need some floor space and a little breakfast cereal. Cold cereal is fine. Milk, you know, bagels is good. And then a little sack lunch. If you don't have the sack lunch, no problem. Just let us know. We'll take care of their lunch. And then we feed them dinner. So they leave in the morning at about 8:15 or so. And they come here, and they're here all day. And then you can pick them up, or the transportation will bring them back after 9 o'clock in the evening, 8:30 or 9 o'clock. So we hope that we can open up a little wider and catch these last 50. If you want to open, if you're taking two, maybe you can add two more or something with a car. You can sign up there, or there may be something up here at the end, or let Frank know, or let me know that you can take one or two more. Let's hopefully get room for all 50 of them. Okay, so now we're going to go to have our prophesying time. English will stay here, and the Spanish, Korean, and the Chinese-speaking saints will move to the other rooms. How about we try this? Let's pray two by two. We can have more prayer for the prophesying time. Pray two by two, and then let the saints who are going to the other language groups get to their language groups, and we'll have a time to prophesy. Also, if some of you feel it's so far in the back during the prayer time, you can also move up. There's more room here in the front. It's easier to prophesy when we're closer together. Amen. Let's pray.